My name is Alexander Tingbani. I was born and raised in Ghana, West Africa. My parents were professing Catholics, and when I was born, they were at the stage in their religious life where they still, despite being Catholics, they still worshipped idols and ancestors. And both of my grandparents on my mother's side and on my father's side were also idol worshippers. And my grandfather on my mother's side was a fetish priest or a native doctor. So he did consultations with the gods, with the ancestors, and offered sacrifices. He had a shrine and he had a lot of gods. I don't remember the exact number because there was just too many. So when I was born, it is usually the practice to find out what is this child's destiny, what is his life about, and what can we do to help him to get to that place where the gods want him to go. And so when I was born, my parents asked my grandfather, who was a native doctor, to find that out for my life. And he did find out and told my parents that I was an incarnate of one of the gods that he was worshiping, specifically the river god. And so my parents were told that, and when my parents were told that, my grandfather also told them that because of that, they had to send me to live with him so that he will teach me, he will nurture me and bring me up in the ways of this God. And so I don't remember when this happened. It was probably very, very young in my life because I don't have any memory of that happening. It's just that is what I was told when I came of age, and could understand why I was living with my grandparents and not with my parents. And thankfully, the Lord also had another young man, an older cousin of mine, living in the same home. I don't know the story behind his life, but we're all living together, and the Lord also, through missions, sent missionaries years ago to come to that little village and start a Baptist church. And growing up, I knew about the church. My older cousin knew about the church, and you know, we usually went there every Sunday morning, you know, just to be in church, you know. And one of those Sundays, I was particularly drawn to go and sit down and pay attention to what was going to be said. That is because the preacher was a new person, and I had never seen him until that morning. And so I drew closer, sat probably in the second or the third row from the front, and that was the first morning I had the full gospel of Jesus Christ presented. And it was as clear as day. My sin was spelled out. Not only that, the penalty for my sin, which is hell's fire, was spelled out very clearly. And the issue of my sin, there was no running away from it, because the preacher clearly said, if you are an idol worshiper, you will die and go to hell. And when I heard that I had touched, probably my older cousin talked to him or somebody from the community told him what I was into. And I only got to realize later that it was the Holy Spirit using this preacher to reach my heart where I was. And also, the good news was that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for my sin. He paid the penalty so that I could have life eternal and spend eternity in the presence of God. And so I knew that, and after the service, I realized I knew exactly what I ought to do in order to be saved. But here was my dilemma, what I had been told growing up, my grandparents, my parents, you know, and all that they had for me, or they were thinking about me. All of that was just too much for me to process that morning or that Sunday morning. And so for fear of everything that was happening around me, I did not trust Christ that Sunday morning. But I praise the Lord that 3 days later, during a Wednesday prayer meeting, a similar message was preached. The new preacher brought a service into the community and preached a gospel message to the community. And that was the night I went forward and trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And after I got saved, I told my grandfather of my newfound faith. He was not very pleased. But I thank the Lord that he did not react in any way that would have been to the detriment of my life or to that of my older cousin. We still lived with him. We still did things that we could do with good conscience for him. We helped him in, you know, every way that we could, but only in areas that we knew were contrary to our faith did we tell him that we could not help him. And till today, I thank the Lord that he understood and, you know, he still took care of us. And we got the opportunity of sharing the gospel with him, but sadly we did not see him come to faith before he died. And after he died, I transitioned to living with my parents, and 2 years later, my father also died. And after my father died, I vowed that I will not go into full-time ministry or whatever that meant. I just told myself, no, it's not going to happen. Because after my father died, my uncle, who is now the family head, he's just finished high school. And he didn't have any certificate or any qualification to get any well-paying job. So seeing me through high school was a problem. And as I saw the years growing, getting closer, I was really not very pleased. I wasn't very happy as to how my life was going to turn out. But through the encouragement of my uncle and through the encouragement of spiritual leaders that I had, I went forward, finished my junior high. And after finishing junior high, I qualified to go to senior high school. And the Lord provided for me throughout high school. And I finished high school in 2018. After finishing high school, I had the burden to, or I had the ambition and the dreams of going into medical school. But the fall of 2018, the Lord just made it very clear. You have no other thing to do but to go into the Bible college and train for ministry. It was a struggle for me. I struggled with that just because of the way my family situation is and what ambitions I had for my life. But when you wrestle with God, you realize that no matter how you wrestle with him, how long, at the end of the day, he usually wins. And I am very thankful that during those months of wrestling with God, of wrestling in my heart and, you know, seeking counsel from spiritual leaders that were in my life, God won at the end of the day. And so in 2014, I surrendered and went to the Bible college, trained there for 4 years, got my BA in Bible and theology. And towards the end of my time there at the college, the Lord burdened my heart for further training so that I could aid in the training of other people, other men for the work of the ministry there in the Wa area of Ghana. And so it was another step of faith that the Lord brought me to, that I had to look to him to provide the doors, open the opportunities, and give me the places that he will have me go. And thankfully, on January 2019, he opened the door and I came over here to the United States to do my master's degree in Bible. I've been studying at a college called Baptist College of Ministry and Theological Seminary in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, very close to the Milwaukee area. And going back to Ghana with the burden of training nationals for the work of the ministry, planting independent Baptist churches, and also equipping existing local churches that are existing to take the gospel to the next village, take the gospel to the next town. And so those are my burdens. I have a presentation video that I will have them play now, and then I will give some more elaboration on the ministry burden that the Lord has given me, and then we'll go into questions and answers. If you do have some, get them ready.
Africa is often called the dark continent, not because it doesn't experience sunshine or moonlight, but because of the spiritual state of its inhabitants. I am Alexander Tumbane. I was born and raised in a small African village, and while growing up, I became aware of the spiritual darkness that pervaded my own heart and the hearts of the many around me. In the west coast of Africa is a country called Ghana. There are several strongholds to the gospel of Jesus Christ that exist in Ghana. First one is false religion, the false religion of Catholicism, the false religion of Islam, and of course the false religion of animism and ancestral worship. I was raised by grandparents who were idol worshippers. And when I was born, they believed that I was an incarnate of one of the gods that they worshipped. And my grandparents dedicated me to the service of that god. One day, the darkness in my heart was revealed when the Holy Spirit of God took the gospel light and shone it upon my dark heart of sin. And that day, I left the congregation knowing very well that if I died, I would go to hell because I was sinning. I was an idol worshiper, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior 3 days after hearing that first message. And when I got saved, the Lord burdened my heart to tell many others of Jesus Christ's salvation from ancestral worship and so many other false religions that are present in Africa. Ghana has a population of about 31 million people, and out of this, only 75 of them profess Christianity. But will you realize that out of these 75%, only 24% of them are evangelical Christians? That means that only 3 out of every 10 Ghanaians really know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. The need in Ghana is still for gospel advance. The fact that there are so many people who have not yet heard calls for churches that will be planted among people groups that are not yet reached with the gospel. The burden I have is to train these churches, give them a gospel vision, give them a multiplication vision, and give them the Great Commission, and let them understand that the Great Commission is possible today. The other need in Ghana is for churches that are already existing to believe in revival. To believe in revival means that they should be living in the life and the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us on the cross. They will have the gospel in their forefront, and they will be willing to go to the next village to reach others with the gospel. There are churches who have been established, but these churches do not have the vision to reach the next village with the gospel. The ministry God has burdened me with is to go into these churches and partner with them, to train them, give them a gospel advanced vision. So it is my burden that these churches that has been planted for years, that they will be equipped, they will be given that vision to take the gospel to the next village, to the next town that has not yet heard the gospel. So the Lord laid upon my heart the need for further training. And in the wake of that, the Lord directed my steps to Falls Baptist Church and to the training school that they have. And during my time there, God has continued to burden my heart. He has continued to sharpen the vision that He has for Ghana. He has continued to give me a clearer vision and how to accomplish and fulfill the Great Commission in Ghana. It is with partnership and with the support of Falls Baptist Church. And then as the Lord burdened my heart, I am receiving my further training here and then going back home. The Lord has brought me into partnership with Baptist World Mission that will enable me to go and serve, to go and accomplish the Great Commission with their support and with their credibility. The last need of Ghana I will point out is the need for Christians to be trained so that they can properly handle the Word of God, so that they can properly give the vision that Jesus Christ gave when He gave the Great Commission. My burden is to go in and help their ministers and help the various pastors and the leaders that they have to train each member of the local church to know the reality of the Great Commission. And not just know the Great Commission, but realize that it is possible in our generation. And also to give them that vision to reach the next village. If we bring this into our churches, I believe that the next villages, the next towns around places where churches are already planted are going to be rich with the gospel of Christ. God has called me to be an evangelist, and I am going to fearlessly preach the gospel, to witness on a daily basis, to disciple those that have received the gospel, and organize them into local churches, which will also have the vision of reproducing disciples, and other local churches in their quarters. I also believe that God will meet the need of revival through partnering with several churches, preaching revival truths, bringing them to the victorious Christian life by pointing them to the victory that is available in Jesus Christ. And the last need is for Ghanaians to be trained and be given a vision for gospel advance. I believe that God has called me to be a trainer of trainers, to train men and women to take the gospel from one village to another village, from one person to another person, till the whole country, until the whole region of Africa is reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you be a part of what God is doing in Ghana? First of all, you can pray. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the harvest field." I will implore you to pray for Ghana, that God will raise up Ghanaians to take the Great Commission into their own hands. Then the second thing you can do is you can go. Come over to Ghana and help us. Then the last thing you can do is to partner with missionaries. Equip them so that the gospel ministry in Ghana will expand. There is a very great open door in the country of Ghana that invites the gospel. It is this open door that God has called me to send the gospel to, till the whole country is reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Plan to go back to Ghana. I'll be working to begin with another missionary with Baptist World Mission, who is also a national. He happened to be one of my professors back in college there in Ghana, and during my time there, I was able to serve alongside him in different aspects of ministry in the local church, the prison ministry or the jail ministry as we call it, and then the radio ministry and village ministry, going out and starting new churches through open-air preaching and all that. So I'm very eager to get back and get back into that ministry with him, and also looking at what the Lord will do in different aspects of what God has called us to do there in the WA area. So my ministry, I have circled or put the burden in three ways or in three approaches. The first approach will be reaching the lost. That is always the beginning point. And we have several ministries that we use to that end. And one of them I would like to highlight is the radio ministry. The town that we live and serve in has a very great Muslim presence. And though they are opened to the gospel, they will not come into the church in the Sunday morning service or a Wednesday service or any other service and listen to the gospel. But we also, with that radio ministry, we go on the radio, and, you know, thankfully, some of those radio stations are actually owned and operated by Muslims. And we still have the privilege of going on that those radio stations and preaching the gospel freely. And as we preach the gospel over and over again, you know, those that are listening week after week, day after day, their eyes open to the gospel. And some of them contact us, and we are able to meet with them and, you know, further explain the gospel to them and see them come to faith. And, you know, they are now in our churches. So that's one of the ministries that we use to reach the lost people in the WA area. Then, I mean, out in the villages, we also have just open air preaching. We show up in the village and, you know, we can usually show the Jesus film in our language, and then have the people listen to that or watch that. And at the end of that time, we just stand up and preach the gospel and give an invitation. Many of our daughter churches or new church plants, we have started using that means. And the other means of reaching the Lord is, of course, personal evangelism, developing relationships with people personally and using that opportunity to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the second aspect of my burden will be equipping local churches. If there are only two people that are reaching you know, people for Christ, it will take us millions and millions of years to be able to reach our town alone, because our town has a population of about 600,000 to 700,000 people. And so it is my belief and my conviction that it is our church members, those that sit in the pews every Sunday and are going into the community, into the market, into the stores, into the offices the rest of the week, they are our best tools for reaching our people. If we train them in prayer, how to pray, if we train them in personal evangelism, how to present the gospel clearly to a religiously polarized culture and society, if we teach them how to take a newborn believer and disciple him or her, then they are the best weapons we can have. And I believe that that is what God has called me to do, that I'm not just reaching people myself, but I'm training others to reach them as well. And also, we have several ministries that I am burdened to use for that, and one of them is a Mobile Bible Institute that will be going to a particular church, you know, and doing a module class for a week or two as the material will allow and as time will allow, and train that local church in one area at a time. So it could be over a period of a year, we'll divide a year into the four quarters and, you know, train them in prayer, train them in evangelism, train them in discipleship, and then train them in training others for the work of the ministry. And also that's one of the burdens. And the other ministries that we have, like a high school ministry, the high schoolers, we are only able to get in there twice a week at most. And when we go, we have times that we use some of those meeting times for evangelism and outreach. That is not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to create a home away from home for our students that leave our churches and go to these secular high schools. But the burden I have right now is to use some of those meetings to train them in evangelism, that as they encounter their friends in the dormitory, in the classroom, wherever they find themselves in the school, they are there 24/7. They have an opportunity that we that go in just for a short period of time do not have. And so they are our best tools to get to those high schoolers as well. And doing the same thing with the jail ministry, training the inmates to be able to reach their fellow inmates with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the last aspect of my burden is training full-time ministers. Those, as we plant churches, as churches get, you know, revived and get fired up for the gospel, we believe and we are praying that young men will surrender for full-time ministry. And as they surrender for full-time ministry, it will be our burden through the college where I graduated from to use that ministry and train them for the work of full-time ministry. And so those are the three aspects of the burden that God has given me: reaching the lost, equipping local churches, and then training national leadership for churches that are going to be planted. I will invite you to come by and take some pieces of literature. One of them is Partnering Through Prayer. It's an encouragement, it's an article to pray for missionaries on the field. And one of them is also Holding the Rope, let's say, directly to local churches as we support missionaries abroad. And as we send out missionaries, we should be very involved in what they are doing out there, representing us in the world, spreading the gospel. And the other one is a missions apprenticeship program for people that are considering going into full-time missions but are not yet decided. It's like an apprenticeship, or it's like an internship that you do. It can be as short as 2 months, it can be as long as 2 years. You will go, you apply for that, you raise funds and go to an actual mission field, serve with a missionary on the field for that period of time. And during that time, you are involved in ministry, you are exposed to what it means to be a missionary in that particular field. You know, your experiences may not be the same as every other person, but during that time, it is believed that the Lord is going to show you as you continue to seek him in prayer, and through the prayers of other people that now know what you are doing, I will give you a clearer direction as to what to do regarding your call. And also, if you, while you are there, if you want to pick up a prayer card, I came to realize that prayer cards, I usually find them where? In the house, on the refrigerator. And I have a friend back in Wisconsin that has two twins, and every time I meet them, they remind me I am on their freezer. I told them they shouldn't freeze me to death, that you just pray for me. So yeah, come by and pick a prayer card, and if they have contact information at the back and the website information as well, pick that up, and I'll be very glad to be in touch with you. And while you are there, sign up if you are interested in my quarterly newsletter. I'll be very glad to send that to you as well.